You are listening to Beyond the Jargon, a jargon-free look at graduate students and their research journeys here at UVic. Welcome to Beyond the Jargon. I'm your host today, Liz MacArthur, and joining me in the studio is Kevin Virtue, who is doing a master's in media design. Thank you for being here today, Kevin.
Thank you for having me, Liz.
Let's start off. You're not doing your master's at UVic.
No, I'm not.
We usually do interviews with people who are doing their master's at UVic, but this is kind of an interesting topic that you're studying, and you did finish your undergrad at UVic, that's right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My undergrad was in psychology at UVic, so I finished that in April. So, yeah, been done for a little while now.
Mm-hmm. What exactly are you studying? Maybe you can tell us. Is it a project-based or a research-based master's?
It's like a course-based. So each month you're doing a different sort of like module, and it's all based on kind of more like advertising kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit. It's not very technical. It's more like theoretical, which is. It's sort of interesting, but mostly, like, right now I'm studying design research, so we're talking about how to, like, you know, draw from kind of, like, history and other things going on right now and apply that to a cohesive design idea.
Mm-hmm. What school are you doing it through?
It is through a school in the States called Full Sail.
Full Sail.
Yeah, Full Sail.
And you're doing it online?
Yeah.
Okay. It's mostly theoretical. At the end of it, will you have done a project or will you write a thesis or anything like that?
There is a thesis project, and they've started hinting at like that we're going to start working on that soon, but we haven't really been talking about it yet. Mm-hmm. I think I'm in like my fifth month right now, and it's 12 months. I think that the next month is where it starts to, where that gets underway.
Hmm. And do you know what you want to write your thesis on?
No.
All right. Okay.
No, not yet.
Is there a range of topics that you can study?
So far, it seems pretty open-ended. I mean, because my end goal is to get into architecture. It's not to stay in like media design or psychology or like that kind of field. So I've been doing a lot of projects themed around that instead of, you know, just covering like advertising or like industrial design or things like that.
That's interesting. You're studying media studies now, and your degree is in psychology, and you want to get into architecture.
Yeah.
How does that all lead you to that point?
Sort of. It depends. There are a lot of schools, like architecture schools, that are pretty fussy about that kind of stuff, and they're not really interested in kids that don't have an architecture background.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, they'll admit you, but there's like a sort of like priming year before the actual program where you have to take kind of the requisite, like, you know, math and, like, structural engineering kind of courses.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Interesting. So why did you take this media studies course?
I just needed something to fill out my resume and kind of, like, more time to just sort of, you know, develop some skills that I didn't have that I wanted to have going forward into a master's program. And I was looking for, like, I knew, I could have worked or I could go to school, and I felt like I could, you know, if I found a program that fit, then I should do that. And this was a 12-month program that fit perfectly, and I could get into, like, they do monthly, like, rolling admissions. So, I found out about this, and then, like, 3 months later, I, you know, had graduated, and then 1 month after that, I started this program.
Hmm.
And then, you know, gives me, like, 12 months to shore up my portfolio. And then go for another master's degree in architecture.
So, wow. Yeah. Is it difficult doing it online? I mean, I guess that you did your classes, like, in person at UVic.
I almost like it more, to be honest, because...
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've taken up a lot of, like, volunteering stuff. Like, I volunteer here at CFUV, and... it's really nice to have more of my own schedule, and there aren't really lectures.
Mm.
Like, there are, like, these meetings that they have twice a week, but, you know, they're kind of optional. If you can't make it, it's not, like, a big deal, and you can sort of watch the video of them afterwards and get the gist of what's going on. So, yeah, I don't know, it's really nice to have, you know, that kind of scheduling freedom, especially given what I'm doing, because it's allowed me to do so many other things that, you know, fill out the resume a little bit more and all that.
So... Can you tell me a little bit about what you have been studying so far in the first 4 or 5 months and sort of like how I guess the path of what you've been studying as well?
Yeah. I'd have to think about that. I mean, yeah. So we're doing like a lot of design research stuff right now. We did some similar kind of, it's been a few classes of that sort of thing. Things like writing effective like ad copy. Mm-hmm. There was a whole month on that. And like we had a few of the classes in the very beginning were more focused on like developing the kind of the skills in like Photoshop and InDesign and things like that that, you know, you would need going forward with this kind of thing. So just to make sure that everyone has it and to see what level everyone is at with it. And that'd be, I think, a fairly like accurate description of it all.
Mm-hmm. Did it surprise you what you were working on, or did you essentially work on the stuff you were expecting to work on?
I kind of knew, because I mean, I looked at the schedule for all the classes beforehand, but it did surprise me. It's not as technical as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more about the ideas than the actual like execution of those ideas, mm-hmm. which is good. I mean, you know, that's important to understand too. But
what kind of ideas are you talking about? Like around design and targeting advertising,
yeah,
that kind of
yeah,
thing?
That kind of stuff. Like, it's not so much about like the actual like making of like a design. It's more about the rationale behind a design.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about like the process of making one, what I'm thinking about when I talk about like the actual execution is kind of the back end. It's sort of like the end point.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're really focused on the beginning of like, you know, bringing in the research, kind of like how to get clients on board, how to like properly talk to them and like come up with contracts and then bill them and stuff like that has also been
mm-hmm.
a lot of like we touch on that kind of intermittently every month.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about like the ideas behind advertising campaigns
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That must be interesting coming from a psychology background.
No, everything's interesting coming from a psychology background. Yeah.
Can you apply that to what you're doing now?
It surprises me how many things I can actually apply that psychology background to. Because like when I figured out that I wanted to, like when I realized that I wanted to go in architecture, it's like, oh, this psychology stuff is totally useless. Like I have to do two more years of this. And I was just like killing myself over that. But now like looking back on it and all the things that I studied, even the classes that I thought were like just too far into the whole psychology thing to be of any use to me now, I find myself thinking about like all the time and kind of applying it.
Huh.
So yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, because you wouldn't necessarily think psychology and architecture. Can you give me an example of some stuff that could apply?
I mean, I think when it relates to architecture, it's more of a like it's more of a mindset almost, you know. Psychology is very about subjective experience.
Mm-hmm.
I always get subjective and objective confused, which is the one where it's like how you see it yourself.
Subjective.
Yeah, and then yeah. Objective. Okay, yeah. It's very about, like, subjective experience, whereas I don't think a lot of architects think about it that way. It's kind of about the, you know, objective kind of idea of what their structures or their, you know, that whole thing is. Whereas when you look at it from a psychology standpoint, you kind of apply the individual a little bit more
mm-hmm.
than you would if you weren't doing that. I don't know. I find myself thinking about neuropsych a lot, which is, I didn't do very well in that class and it was very difficult, but I keep like flashing back to some of the things that I did learn about neuropsych.
Huh? Like
it's
what?
Like all the time. That's more of an advertising thing, but like you think about like evolutionary psych as well, like how the brain developed and why people see things certain ways. And it gets a little like a little abstract and kind of ridiculous sometimes, but certainly interesting to think about.
And that can kind of sort of apply to how people see advertising campaigns and react to things like that?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of advertising, they kind of go for, like, the low blows, I think, with a lot of that kind of stuff, and they just try and sort of cheat you into getting involved with something or, you know, like, purchasing, obviously, at the end. It's all about, like, money and purchasing things. But a lot of advertising is also really, you know, if it's well made, it'll play on kind of like better things in you, and it can make, you know, it can be a good thing too, which is not always a popular opinion, especially around here.
Do you feel like you're dabbling in the black arts when it comes to like using psychology to hook people in and stuff?
Oh yeah, sometimes. But this is sort of funny too. I was watching this. There's a TED Talk where this guy talks about how advertising is actually like a really good thing, and he's saying, you know, in the future, if we want to live in a world that's less materialistic, we can either have like less, you know, stuff. We can all be poorer and live in like being destitute and just awful conditions, which obviously none of us want. Mm-hmm. Or we can live in a world where intrinsic value has more of a place in like our day-to-day lives. And intrinsic value is essentially what advertising is about. So in that regard, kind of. Because the other thing is, I'm listening to this ad man sell me on how advertising isn't like just pure evil. But he's an ad man. He could sell anything, right? That's whole like the whole trick.
Yeah.
That's
I remember being in broadcast school and we had a guy come in who wrote jingles and did a lot of advertising, and he had a psychology background. I've met a lot of people in my career who do that and just have a broadcasting background and know how to put ads together or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this guy had a very specific like psychology degree, and I remember him talking at the front of the class and everybody was just like, whoa, like blown away, because his level of like the way he layered his ads and the way he would compose like a specific jingle for these songs was totally intended to get stuck in people's brains and just like not let go.
Yeah. See, now I'm thinking about the whole neuropsych thing again. Because, I don't know. If you could really like, I feel like we don't have a very good understanding of neuropsych, but if we did, the kind of like creepy stuff we'd be able to do with that is just kind of like endless.
So maybe it's good that we're not
exploiting
that.
Yeah, maybe it's a good thing that we don't really understand it. I don't know.
So why don't you want to go into advertising?
Well, the black arts thing kind of applies to that, too. It is sort of, I mean, for every like good campaign you would do, you'd probably have to do like 10 or 20 kind of just ones that were pure evil and that you just kind of rushed out the door because, you know. I have done some advertising, and I've been really lucky to have really good clients as well. But I also, you know, have heard stories and have kind of had some experiences that do sort of hint at what it would be like to just have, like, really bad clients. And, yeah, I don't see myself dealing with that very well. I think there's a little bit more leeway in architecture. Mm-hmm. Although, like, you do still have to deal with clients. It's, you know, you have a skill set that is actually recognized as being, like, a, you know, respectable, whereas in advertising, if you sit around all day trying to come up with an idea and then you try and bill them for that, they're like, well, what were you doing? What were you working on? Like, well, I was trying to come up with the idea. Like, so you weren't doing anything then.
Right.
Like, I'll pay you for your time, like physically putting it together. It's like, well, that was like 2 hours. That's not enough for me to, you know, get by.
I gotta say though, like, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I feel like for every great building that you might design as an architect, you're probably doing a lot of condos as well.
Yeah, but I mean... I don't dislike condos, I guess. I don't know. I don't think the development is necessarily the bad thing that it's kind of... again, it's the same thing, right? Though there are good condos and bad condos. It's, you know...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Though I feel that the trend is kind of... It's getting better, I think. We're building better cities now than we were, say, like 50 years ago.
What draws you to architecture?
That's a really weird question. I know that, like, when I was a little kid, I was almost in, like, a bunch of car accidents because my dad, every time we were driving past, like, a bridge or a new building, he'd be, like, staring out the window through the sky roof, like, looking, like, oh, look at this, they're about to finish this building. And then we'd, like, swerve into the other lane and someone would honk, like, oh, geez.
Was your dad an architect?
No, or? my dad's an accountant, but he said that if he wasn't an accountant, he would have probably gotten into architecture. But when I, like, also around the same time, the house that I lived in was the house, like, across the street, there was, like, a cow farm. And as I, like, you know, was growing up, they developed that whole area in the suburbs, like, as far as you can see. But there always used to be construction going on outside. My parents tell me that I used to just sit outside the window and just watch them put these houses up, like, all day and just be, like, mystified by it. Which is sort of the story that I like to tell myself. It's like, oh, I've always been an architect at heart.
Right.
But I don't know.
It is an interesting thing, I think, especially for kids to see that kind of stuff happening.
When we used to, like, at night when all the construction workers had, like, gone home, we used to, like, go into all the sites and just, like, break into the construction sites and go check them out. Like, they were building some schools and stuff, and we would just be, like, wandering around in there, just, like, looking around and doing that. That was, like, one of my favorite things to do as a little kid, so.
Break into construction sites?
Yeah.
Put that
I've
on the
resume.
I've
always been a, like, deviant little weirdo. But, yeah, no, there's that. But, like, more recently, yeah, I don't know, I think, like, 3-4 years ago now, I was kind of, like, I was getting the psych degree, knew it wasn't really for me, and kind of looking around for other things, and I've always been really interested in architecture. I was actually on StumbleUpon, and I was just looking at architecture and looking at the buildings and all that, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, like, this is a thing that people do, I could do this, and then, all right, this is great. And then I started, like, studying it and getting more into it, and now it's, you know, pretty solidified. I don't really see myself doing anything else.
This is an interesting interview, because usually I talk to people who are immersed in the research that, you know, what would be the next step for you, essentially. But you're sort of in this sort of stepping stone master's program that will lead you to your next.
Yes.
What you're obviously most passionate about. Do you know where you want to apply to go to school?
I just toured UBC, and a lot of the teachers there really impressed me. They're really interested in a lot of the, like, newer things in architecture that are kind of not really being utilized to their fullest potential right now, but that are kind of, like, coming up. Like 3D printed buildings and crazy stuff like that. I haven't toured any of the other schools that I'm going to apply at, but, you know, UBC is an obvious choice. I'd like to stay out around here, and obviously Vancouver's an incredible city, so.
What made you come out? You're not actually from Victoria, so what made you come out to UVic to study psychology?
Mostly the weather. I didn't want to stay in Calgary. Wanted to put, like, a mountain range in between me and my family. That was a... UVic was the only school I applied to. I felt like I could, not to sound like too arrogant or anything, but I could have gotten in quite a few places, but I didn't really want to go to Ontario, didn't really want to go to UBC at the time, and, you know, Vic had a kind of a reputation as being sort of a laid-back school, so I thought, all right, yeah, I'll go there, just relax for a few years, which was what I did, and then it took me 5 years to get my degree. So.
Why did you study psychology?
Oh, man, when I was in high school, what I wanted to do was be, like, a criminal profiler.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Were you watching a lot of TV at the time?
Dexter, yeah. It was, like that kind of stuff. But, that was not actually something that I wanted to do. It was, like, one of those things that my parents were like, oh, Kevin, well, what do you want to do? And I'd be, like, watching TV, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Like, you know, that's me right there. 4 years, I'm on it. Like... And then they would stop asking. So,
right.
but it's a pretty broad degree. Kind of figured if I wanted to do something else, there was always that option.
Back to what you're doing right now, talking about the sort of advertising media studies. Are you looking at other types of media studies besides advertising?
Not so much, not yet. And actually, we've mostly been focusing on print and web. Advertising. We haven't really done a lot of video or anything like that. Not yet, anyway. We haven't really been looking at a lot of other forms of media.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway.
Do you think you will?
I think that in a lot of ways the opportunity is already there to do that, but they do sort of recommend that you stay to the kind of the one side of it. But again, I mean, this month, I'm putting a pretty serious focus on architecture on my projects, and they don't seem to have a problem with that yet. So, I mean, the opportunity is kind of already there. It's more self-directed.
Yeah. How do you put a focus on architecture in these projects that you're doing? Can you explain maybe one of your projects?
Yeah. So this last week, what we did was... There was a big Google document with all these big famous movements in art and design. So there was Art Nouveau or deconstructivism, postmodernism, a bunch of things like that. And I chose postmodernism, and then you had to do just a quick write up about it, explaining what it was, what was going on at the time, what brought it about, and also, you know, who were some of the major figures, what were some of the major works. And then after that, we had to make an infographic kind of timeline of the movement, explaining, you know, again, yeah, the same kind of thing, but in infographic form, and talk about the lives of some of the famous people and when the famous works were built and why they were built and all that.
So you're looking at architects in that context?
Yeah, and a lot of people just did advertising and were fairly, you know, open-ended about it, talking about typography and that sort of thing, but I just solely did architecture.
So you did postmodern architecture?
Yeah.
Oh, who did you focus on? Who did you talk about?
Well, because I also talked about a few other like movements. But postmodernism, who did I talk about? Philip Johnson, I think, with that with the Sony building, the one that kind of looks like that big like armoire.
Oh, where is it? I don't know.
That's
the Sony
in
building.
New York, I think. It must be. Yeah. Huh. But yeah, postmodernism in architecture is such a really, well, actually, postmodernism in general is kind of a broad blanket term. It's sort of hard to talk about in that regard because you're actually talking about like so many different things that don't really have a unifying theme except for the time that they were all happening and
right.
that they were all kind of like after modernism. But when you think about the difference between like architecture or typography or advertising, that all comes at a different time and meant different things to like each individual group. So it was sort of, it was easier to focus on the one thing that I already knew so much about. But yeah.
So the architecture is not necessarily linked to the other things that were happening at the time that might be blanketed under that move, the postmodern movement.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it kind of is, but when I was doing the research, it was. I mean, I only had a week to do this, so it felt a little bit. The connection wasn't like I could sort of see it, but not in any way that I felt comfortable like writing about or you know coming up with any like solid conclusions about. So
yeah
I stuck to. To what I know.
Yeah. What are some of the defining characteristics of like postmodern architecture?
Oh man, I hope I'm not wrong. But no, but modernism was really like when you look at like the Bauhaus and all of that, it's really clean and they got rid of all the ornaments and used a lot of glass and a lot of like metal. And then you have like the international style, people like Mies van der Rohe, and that's like all these glass kind of like cube skyscrapers that we have that were so popular back in the day. That would be modernism. And then postmodernism was like, well, this is actually really limiting and there's not really a whole lot you can do with this. I mean, we can't keep building glass cubes because it's already kind of boring with the number that we have. We shouldn't keep doing this. So they started adding like the ornaments and the kind of like references to past architecture and stuff back in the buildings.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like what kind of references would they add? Like columns, Grecian columns and things like that?
No. Well, sort of. There would be columns that kind of looked like that, but were like still distinctly modern. They wouldn't have, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be obvious, but the references would still be there. I think it was Robert Venturi made a house for his family where there is no actual fireplace in the house, but it looks like it has a chimney so that you know when you look at it, like, oh, this is a house. It has a chimney. It looks like a house. It's kind of, but like you go inside and it looks, you know, it's really like abstract. It has like a staircase that goes nowhere and like things like that.
But, why build a staircase that goes nowhere?
You'd have to ask him.
Right.
Okay. I look at that kind of stuff and I'm like, oh, I just don't, it doesn't really click for me, but I get the fireplace thing kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
What is your favorite building in Victoria?
Oh, probably the atrium.
Oh yeah.
That's a pretty nice building.
Yeah. Why do you like it?
I've met the developer, Robert Jahl.
Jahls. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to tour it, and it's a really well thought out building, and he really put a lot of like him and everyone that was involved in that were really focused on making a good building, like a quality kind of building, and it definitely shows, and that says a lot. But yeah, no, it's just the environment, like obviously the space when you walk in is just that huge kind of like open central kind of like courtyard. There are like trees growing inside. There's, you know, that kind of like the wooden structure on the roof. It's just it's a really nice, it's pretty simple, but you know, there's something to be said for that too. It's a very like functional building for sure.
Yeah, that's true. What is your least favorite building in Victoria?
Probably Cornet. The psych building.
Oh yeah.
Want to talk about more like staircases that go nowhere and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've heard that it is it was built to mimic the human brain.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. Yeah.
Do you think after studying the brain for 4 years?
I'd say I understand the two of them at about the same level. So yeah.
The building and the brain.
Yeah, the building and the brain. Just both mystify me. It's not, I don't know, it's not that bad once you, but like it happened to me every now and then. Like I had been going to that building for 4 years and I would leave one lecture hall to go to another one that was on the other side of the building, and I would walk out and I would just like get totally turned around and have no idea where I was in relation to like the lecture hall I just left and the one that I had to go to. And I'd be like, do I go left? Do I go right? Like, should I maybe just like go in and go up the stairs and kind of try and go around? Or
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a confusing building.
Yeah, it's not great.
All right, so you'll finish your current master's that you're working on in the summer?
Yes. Yeah. in June, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you plan to immediately try and get into architecture school?
I'm putting in my applications and stuff for that right now, and then I would start in September, so.
Wow. And then how long will that take you?
Oh, man. 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
Depending on where I go. I think if I go to UBC, then it's 4. But there, and then I think if I go, like, if there's a, there are a few that are only 3, so somewhere between 3 and 5.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing the interview today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Jargon. If you want to listen again, go to our website, cfuv.uvic.ca, and click on the Listen tab.